This is FCB Radio, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbradio.com.
Todd Allen Radio, turn your speakers up, let's go. Da-da-da-da-da. Todd Allen Radio, sit back, enjoy the show.
Hello, folks, and welcome. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. I'm your host, Professor Econ Todd Allen, in studio with Khalid Namar.
How are you, sir?
Outstanding. How you doing?
I am well. A little sad, but I'm well.
Okay. We'll talk about why you're sad in just a moment. Darvio King, Penn Morrow.
What's up, sir?
How are you?
I'm all right. A little under the weather, but
Is that her name? Is that her name?
Ashley Herzog, how you doing?
Don't be putting my business out there.
So you were in Michigan this past weekend.
Yes, I was in Frankenmuth.
How was that?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a German town. It's an authentic German town. It's not like it wasn't built as a tourist attraction or anything. It was settled in 1845 by German immigrants. It looks, I've never been there, but it looks and feels like you are actually in Germany.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
It's very cool.
Did you get any German beer? Were you wearing Lederhosen?
No, but I would not be opposed. I like them. Okay. I think they're cute. Okay. Except on the guys, they're weird. Like the suspenders and stuff. Yeah, it's strange. But I did eat German food.
We ate some
Sauerbraten.
You didn't bring us back any German chocolate cake.
That's actually not German. It's just a term. It's
really?
Not actually from Germany.
So where does it come from?
I don't know. Someone explained this to me
like
a long
Massachusetts
time.
Or something.
You just ruined it for me. Next, you're going to tell me the chalupa isn't from Mexico.
The Germans are very big on their desserts, though. So,
okay.
Bakeries.
Yeah.
Good. So, folks, we have a very good show for you today, as always. But I'd like to start off. I know, Khalid, you have a topic that you're very concerned about. So, why don't we start with that?
So here in Cleveland, there's been just an outpouring of anger, support, sadness at the death of a child again, which has happened God knows how many times in this country, in cities. A six-year-old child was at home. Bullet rips through the house and shoots her in the head. Her name is Lyric Melody Lawson, sleeping next to her two sisters and her three cousins when she died. Needless to say, the usual outlash or backlash and outrage happens over a week. There's news reports, there's vigils, there's, press conferences by city leaders. Personally, I'm a little sick of it because it's just base. It's cliche. It's people get their emotions out over a period of a week or so. And then guess what? Fades away. Then in a year later, another kid gets killed. We did a story on the show maybe a month ago about all the kids in St. Louis who were killed over the summer, like 13 of them. At least when we did the show, the number was at 13 kids who were shot playing in their backyard because of all the random violence. And I have been saying for years, they do what they know how to do. And due to the fact that they're not being told the right things from any real leaders, they continue to do the same things over and over again, expecting different results. And that is having rallies and vigils and giving speeches. But it doesn't. We have a bad culture. We have a bad culture. We have a bad, violent, indiscriminately violent culture in these cities where bullets are ripping through homes. People are being shot by the thousands. Every year, 5,000-6,000 black men are being shot and killed routinely. Others are going to prison. Gunfights are breaking out at kids' parties, backyard barbecues, football games,
Chuck E. Cheese's,
high school basketball games, nightclubs. It's just routine violence. Festivals, you name it. There needs to be some real work done to change this culture. This is why I had my issues with Kaepernick. This is why I have my issues. All these people who do symbolic, non-productive stunts. There needs to be real work in changing the mindset and the culture. We know we can do it. We've convinced kids that recycling is good, and so they're bugging their parents about recycling because they're impressionable. We've told them about political correctness. A lot of young people have that down pat, that dogma. You know, they know what pronouns to use in certain schools. They're doing this in Chicago with gender pronouns for a bunch of fifth and sixth graders. They have drag queens reading to kids in schools. But why don't you have sustained respect for life, values issues being pushed? Because there's no respect for life. Now, I'll go back to the cause of this death for this kid. There was a felon living in that house. So he had a beef with somebody. And these people don't care. They'll shoot up your mama's house. They'll shoot up your grandmother's house. They'll shoot up your... It doesn't matter. You in that house, they'll shoot it up. And a lot of that's been going on in Cleveland over the past year. You know, something's going on in that house with this dude. He's got beef. He's bringing that to the house. They shoot up the house and the kid suffers. The kid dies. But the culture won't change because I'm 50 years old. My life, my whole life, since I was a child, we've been talking about the same stuff. And in many cases, it's worse. So unless we do something to start changing the value system, I'm not talking about rallies and speeches and everything. That makes people feel good for the moment, but it goes away. And then how many kids are going to keep? It's like it's going to keep happening. It's wash, rinse, repeat. Getting into the schools, getting into the kids, and we know we can get 100 people together, 300 people, 500 people to walk through the streets, to march through the streets. I would like to see a real sustained effort to reach kids one by one in schools, community centers, neighborhoods. People got to do some real work here.
Yeah.
And they need to start at the top. I'm just sick of this same old stuff happening. Every time you look up, a six-year-old is shot, people go ballistic for a few weeks.
Well, and I'm agreeing 1,000% with what you said. The question becomes twofold. Number one, okay, you're saying that we should talk to the kids in terms of changing the culture with the kids. But the person that we're assuming that the person that changed, that pulled the trigger was older, was an adult.
It's a long-term solution I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a short-term and a long-term solution, but something's got to change.
Right.
And it's not going to change. It's like working out. You don't run and work out for like 1 day or 2 days or 3 days and then say, okay, I'm in shape.
Correct.
It's a lifestyle change, right? There needs to be a culture change, a shift in our thinking,
mm-hmm.
a shift in our value system because it's not changing. It's just keep going.
Meanwhile, in the short term, what would you say that we do? How do we in the short term? How do we impact those people who would be the ones to be pulling the weapon?
Good question. I think that just as these people get out into the streets, they are really concentrated at election time. When I say these people, we know what I'm talking about. They get out. I get stopped in shopping malls. I get stopped and going into the grocery store by somebody with a clipboard.
Correct.
Right? You drive them down the street, you see billboards
mm-hmm.
promoting all kinds of stuff, right? You got all sorts of public messages out here getting in people's ears about all sorts of things. Some of it's totally non-productive, but still, people have a way of pushing messages. We have no type of messages in our culture that shames certain behavior.
Well, and I think that was the key term there is shame.
There should
that
be.
There is no shame for different types of behavior.
It's got to come back.
Right.
Shame has to return, or else what reason would a culture improve if there's no shame attached to negative behavior? It won't, unless some sort of shame. It's no longer embarrassing to do just about anything.
Well, back in the day, I was when my mother would buy me Hot Wheels tracks for Christmas. I would be the only boy in the neighborhood crying because I would be getting whooped by my Hot Wheels tracks. So, you know, my mother would say, hey, don't touch this. And if I touched it, there was a Hot Wheel track sanding my behind, right? I don't see spankings anymore because now if a kid gets a spanking.
You get shot.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Well, not only that.
I'm just
kidding. You know, they have 9, 7, 6 kids memorized, right?
Right. I think that a lot of these kids, though, structure, discipline is one thing. Spankings are another. Like, I didn't get spanked much, believe it or not. I know that's shocking. But I didn't have to because I was scared to death of my parents.
Right.
the threat of an A kicking was effective.
Did you ever get spanking, Ashley?
Not really. I mean, I wouldn't call it. Yeah, I guess kind of. If we were really acting up, my mom would, like, swat us on the butt. But they didn't do, like, formal spankings, like, over the knee or anything.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, no, no. Well, I was only a little rascal.
How about a wet towel?
Ooh, no, a I rat tail.
Yeah, my dad was from the South. They believed in that ish.
The wet.
Well, I didn't get it, but my siblings did it. A wet towel?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Darville, you ever?
Oh, please.
Not a wet towel, but have I ever been spanked? I was spanked by my mother. I was spanked by my father.
Nah, your
I was
mom is not. I don't believe your mother ever spanked you.
Yes, she spanked me. I was spanked by my mother. I was spanked by my father. I was spanked by my grandmother and my grandfather.
Can she still
and
do
I think
it?
My auntie might have got me once or twice, too.
But listen,
until I got older, when I got in my teenage years, my mother stopped. She couldn't spank me anymore, so she would just take both hands and just slap both sides of my face.
I just think it's a little deeper, though, than spanking. We have just a culture that is... A lot of these kids are neglected. They're neglected. They have no structure. They suffer from bad parenting.
Well, and a lot of times the adults in the room come in, well, how come you're not acting like we acted back in my day, not realizing that their entire family structure is trash.
Absolutely.
A lot of these kids, like, I know a kid in particular where it's like every place that you would turn for some guidance is people in those positions are fools.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're basically like the you know.
Well, I think that a lot of this started to turn when the man was taken out of the home, when you had that structure was taken out of the home, and you know I don't know how you put Pandora back in the box. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin and I don't stretch as much. Dad, I hope you're still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works. So
you can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. So I think that this topic that we're going to talk about is a very interesting topic. We're going to talk about the playlist from the Democratic candidates. So, Cleed, what do you have on?
Well, we all know that the number one hip-hop artist, or not artist, but fan in the Democratic field is Kamala Harris.
What the hell was that?
Was that you?
No. I know better. Who was that?
That was Kamala Harris' playlist. I apologize.
Oh, you just played.
it just came up on the
internet. Oh, that was this fool.
You've only been doing this 4 years with us and 9 years before us.
Y'all gonna leave me alone.
So
continue.
So Kamala Harris, because you know she's really down with the hip hop artists.
Yeah.
She was listening to like Kendrick Lamar in college in the 80s. So
she was getting high to Tupac before he even released it.
Yeah,
right.
She was getting high to Tupac before Tupac got high to Tupac. Right.
Jeez. So what you got?
Anyway, people like her and Buttigieg and Kamala Harris and Bernie and all the Democratic field, they have these walkout music, rally music they use.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to make all these statements.
Like the intro music that, you know, UFC fighters WWE wrestlers use, right.
So some of the people on Kamala Harris's playlist, it is to me, I'm sure she just created this like 6 months ago.
Right.
Mary J. Blige, Work That.
Really?
Yes. California Love. Tupac. I am stunned that's in there.
I could buy that, though. I could believe that
Well,
one.
You know.
I could believe that one.
Check the Rhyme. Tribe Called Quest.
Really?
Yes. This Generation, Quest. Rise Up, Andra Day. I hate that song. Think, Aretha.
Okay, I could see that.
Alicia Keys, Love on Top.
That's not Alicia Keys.
I mean, I'm
Keys.
Sorry, not Alicia Keys. Beyonce. Beyonce, Love on Beyonce.
You will have the every member of the Beehive
sending me hate
tweets. At your throat. Because they are vicious.
Okay, and then she's got some Cardi B in here. Of course.
Really?
Yeah, she's got some Cardi. Of course. No,
I love Cardi, but I don't believe
One Nation believe. Under a Groove, the Funkadelic.
Yeah, One Nation Under a Groove, or whatever.
I don't believe that Kamala Harris is listening to Cardi B.
I don't either.
I love Cardi B. Hold on, we lost you for a second.
You remember that leaked Snapchat video? She's at a bar shimmy into Cardi B, which is always staged.
Yeah, I think you had more rhythm than she did.
And she's like, I think it is another song here. I believe it's Cypress Hill. Oh, no, not Cypress Hill, Lauryn Hill.
There's a big difference.
Lauryn Hill.
There's a big difference between.
And Pharrell Williams, Cold Sweat. Mm. No, Pharrell Williams, Happy.
Happy.
And Cold Sweat by James Brown.
I could believe Happy. Because everybody plays that freaking song.
Super Bass by Nicki Minaj.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Kamala?
Yes. She got a little freak in her, don't she?
I'm not touching that comment with a 20-foot pole.
Oh.
Well, politically, history would say so.
Well,
y'all go.
And so would Mary Willie Brown.
Moving on.
Anyway.
My point.
Moving on.
24 Karat Magic, Bruno Mars.
I could see that. That's a really big song.
Oh, this is All We Got, Chance the Rapper featuring Kanye West and Chicago Children's Choir. I don't know that song.
Really?
You might know that, yeah.
I don't know that song, but obviously I know those artists.
And so that's Kamala, and that was all constructed. She probably never heard of 80% of those artists.
No, of course it's not like they're it's to appeal to different people that they imagine.
So you're saying they focus group tested each one of these?
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Some people are real music fans.
Well, like
and they
the Aretha
like what they like.
And James Brown, you know, she's going for like the older ladies and like.
Yeah.
And then the kids with the Cardi.
Well,
there's no way Kamala Harris sits around listening to any of these people.
No,
I don't see it.
And there are some politicians, like when I was supporting Marco Rubio, me and him actually had a conversation after one of his speeches when we were both in the garage talking about N.W.A. and the Straight Outta Compton movie that just came out. Because
he grew up.
Because he's a big 90s, 80s, 90s hip-hop.
Makes
fan.
Sense.
Right.
Well, we know the fakers. So let's speaking of fakers, Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah, his list is increasing.
I bet he has the most annoying playlist. Let's see if
let's see.
All righty.
Well, one of his songs is by Khalid.
Yeah, now that's good. He gets some points for that.
So what do you got?
I like Beto.
What do you got? Right. He just switched that up real quick.
Right.
Clamp Down by The Clash. Because he is a musician, so I'll give him. He's a musician.
Okay.
He played in a band. So, Baba O'Reilly, The Who?
I'm not familiar.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he's annoying. These songs are already. Yeah,
Surrender by Cheap Trick.
Okay. I know that song.
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. I love rock and roll. Okay. That's an easy one. I Would Die for You by Prince.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a great song, but I'm surprised that he would.
Yeah, I can't imagine him being drawn to that at all.
Whiskey River, Willie Nelson. That's because he is a weed head. The Tracks of My Tears by Smokey. Beto scoring some points with
me. Okay.
Yeah,
because it's mostly old.
Yeah, there's nothing new or not more modern on here, I would say.
Hot Fun in the Summertime by Sly and the Family Stone. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Telephone Road, Steve Earle with the Fairfield Four. Never heard of them. Judy Is a Punk by the Ramones.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Rudy Can't Fail, the Clash, Alone Again, or Calexico. Oh my God, sorry.
Great work.
And River by Leon Bridges. You heard of Leon Bridges?
I've heard
he's kind of a new soul singer. He's not bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I haven't heard that
he's
song,
not bad.
Though.
Yeah. And one more.
His song, Shy, is amazing.
Some group called Mission of Burma. You ever heard of them? Mission
no.
of Burma? Okay.
No.
He's a bit of a hippie. So somebody's a real hippie. Now, he's Can't Hardly Wait by The Replacements. And he's got a Rolling Stones song in here.
Okay.
Which I have.
Which one?
Left of the Dial? No, wait a minute. He's got a song called Happy by the Rolling Stones. Never heard of that.
No, I've never heard of that either.
Okay.
Let's talk about Miss Warren here.
Oh, Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, yeah.
Lawrence Welk.
You disrespect.
Oh, Respect by Aretha Franklin.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Stand By Me, Benny King.
That makes sense.
Move On by Curtis Mayfield.
That makes sense.
Love on Top by Beyonce.
That does not make sense.
No.
So he's not listening. Elizabeth Warren is not part of the Beehive. I would bet money on
this. Let's have Al Sharpton spell Aretha's Respect.
Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Suede. I thought it was B.J. Thomas. Anyway.
Okay.
Dog Days Are Over, Florence and the Machine. Everyday People, Sly and the Family Stone.
Okay.
Wake Up Everybody, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes featuring Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, she is not listening to Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Feeling All Right by Joe Cocker. I kind of like that one.
Okay. That makes sense.
You're All I Need to Get By, Marvin Gaye.
Maybe. Motown was really big, so maybe. How old is she?
She's 70. She's almost, yeah, she's 70.
She turned 70
okay,
in June.
Okay, maybe, because that was in her formative years, so maybe.
I Want You Back, the Jackson 5.
That's an interesting pick.
The Temptations, My Girl.
Most of her songs date from the 1990s.
Who, Elizabeth Warren?
Yeah.
No.
I haven't heard a 90s song yet.
Most of the songs.
No, this is 80s and 70s and 60s stuff.
Yeah, I haven't heard
Tom
a song
Petty,
from the 90s yet.
Tom Petty, Jackson 5, Joe Cocker, Harold Melvin, Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, well, that's what the New York Times said it dated. Her playlist dated from the 90s.
But I'm reading the songs.
Yeah,
they're not 90s.
Those are not. I haven't heard a 90s
song.
Benny
King, yeah, he's real 90s. Now, here's some 90s people. Tupac.
Oh, come on.
Keep Your Head Up.
Really? Her staffer picked that.
That's a good song.
Under Pressure by Queen.
It's an amazing song. Keep Your Head Up by Tupac is one of the top 10 greatest hip hop songs.
But Liz
ever.
Warren ain't rocking that.
But exactly.
Under Pressure by Queen.
Okay, I could see that.
Love Train, the OJs. See, she's got, I mean, I'm cool with her list because it seems like stuff she probably really liked.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see no like.
Except for Tupac and Beyonce.
I don't see no like Future in here. No, like, I wouldn't believe that.
I don't believe the Beyonce and the Tupac.
And then one more, the Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Totally see that.
Yeah.
I think every politician
now,
uses that. Every
go,
white
Let's go
one
to the guy I absolutely love to hate.
Cory Booker.
Yes. All right. We got 3 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
Lovely Day by Bill Withers. I'm a huge Bill Withers fan.
I could see that.
High Hopes, Panic at the Disco. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Where? Yeah.
I could see that with Cory Booker.
Yeah. Who the hell are they?
You don't know who kind of got the disco?
They're a mid-2000s emo band.
Say no more.
Yeah. I know them because I went to a Catholic school. Yeah.
All right.
And there were a lot of white people in my school.
Whatever It Takes, Imagine Dragons.
I love that
song. That's a great song.
La Gazzadera by Gente D'Azona.
Oh, that's for the Hispanic vote?
Yep.
Little Talks. Oh, I like that. Of Monsters and Men. I like that song. I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney. Yeah, that makes sense for Corey. Doo-Wop, That Thing, Lauryn Hill.
Okay, great song. Great song.
It is a good song.
Good as Hell, Lizzo.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Sly and Family Stone. Everybody got a Sly and Family Stone song. Everyday People.
Everyday People,
of course.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Celebration, Cool in the Gang, of course. Love
that song. I used to like that song, but I hate it now because everybody played it to death for like 40 years. Continue.
Love on Top by Beyonce. I mean, come on.
Of course. It's like they're picking the same Beyonce song.
Finally, somebody got some Stevie in their life. Higher Ground, Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
Made in the USA, Demi Lovato.
Okay.
It's Your Thing, the Isley Brothers.
That's a great song.
I like the Isley Brothers.
I love the Isley Brothers.
Wait a minute. Glory from the motion picture soundtrack, Selma by Common.
That's a good one. That's a great song.
Love Train, the OJs, another theft.
That's not one of my favorite OJ songs.
Oh, here's one that is sort of maybe surprising. Pump It Up by Joe Budden.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was actually a pretty good song.
And Wake Up Everybody, John Legend featuring Common and Melanie Fiona.
So,
and All Night by Big Boy. That's from Outkast, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, do you think that list is realistic?
Yeah.
I think he is the best. Because
he's
so
an '80s, early '90s guy. He's younger than I am, so
he's in his 40s,
late
right?
40s. Yeah. So this makes sense to me. This makes sense.
So the one, all right. So let's vote out of the three that you read. Mm-hmm. Which one? Which list is
no,
the
he read
least?
Four, didn't he?
Did you read four?
Kamala Harris.
Elizabeth Warren.
Beto.
Yep. Out of the four, which one is the less? Is the least believable?
Kamala's.
Kamala. That's the only election she'll win in the near future. Right.
She should be on the really segment with that. Yeah. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Convenient my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. We'll go into one of our favorite segments here at the Todd Allen Show. Really?
Really?
Okay. So, I don't know why I torture myself like this. It seems like every week we kind of remind ourselves that we are in the age of absurdity. It's becoming more and more pronounced. So, there's a New York Times reporter, formerly known as Rachel L. Harris. Anyway. This is an article by Rachel L. Harris and Lisa Tarchak. Mm-hmm. So, essentially, it's about a journalist named Farhad Manju. Okay? The name of the article is Call Me They. So, he wants to be known as They, this New York Times columnist. Farhad Manju is basically saying, if we lived in a just, rational, inclusive universe, one in which we're not all so irredeemably obsessed by the particulars of the parts dangling between our fellow humans' legs, God, we're going to hell. There would be no requirement for you to have to assume my gender just to refer to me in the common tongue, writes Farhad Manju in a recent column, quote, Call Me They. They make the case for adopting gender neutral pronouns for reasons both cultural and linguistic.
Talking about they, the guy?
Yeah.
Or can I say the guy? They.
Yes. That works.
Okay.
Since we are thoroughly confused now. But ultimately, in the name of inclusivity. So this guy who writes for a major newspaper wants to be called they. Anyone who engages this buffoon doesn't deserve their job in media. He can call himself whatever he wants. I personally would not call him anything. All right? So this is the first paragraph.
What was her name? There was a saying that says that, you know, you can call me anything you want, but just don't call me late for dinner.
Yeah. Just don't call they late for dinner.
Wait, I don't get it. He's changing his name to they?
His pronoun.
Or no, his pronoun. Yes. See, to me, as a journalism major and someone who, you know, has kind of made a career out of this kind of stuff, that's so awkward.
Yes.
To say they wrote a column when I'm talking about a single person. First of all, it's not even grammatically correct. They is plural.
Well, my little privileged
friend.
Wait,
what is this? What is this guy's name?
Farhad Manju. He explains this.
Okay, so is he from what country was he born
Farhad
in?
Farhad sounds like Persian.
Arab or Persian.
Yeah, something like
so,
that.
So, like,
yeah.
What about the whole cultural relativism thing where, like, you know, you have to argue that homophobia is okay in Arab and Muslim cultures because, you know, we have to have tolerance for their, like, is he really going to go home or back to I'm going down the wrong path with this, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I think it's like, Pakistani, though. But anyway, they're not Arabs, but Middle Eastern Muslim culture.
Right.
Right. He says the singular they is inclusive and flexible, and it breaks the stifling prison of gender expectations. Let's all use it. That's the subheading of his article. It's time for they. I'm your stereotypical.
So we're all going to be they.
Yes, pretty much. I am your stereotypical cisgender, and you know what cisgender is, right?
Yeah, okay. you identify with the sex that you're born with.
It's basically normal.
Right.
That's what cisgender is. I am your stereotypical cisgender middle-aged suburban dad. I dabble in woodworking. I take out the garbage. I cover my neighbor's Porsche. Though I do think men should wear makeup. Oh boy. Okay. This article kicked me out again. Okay. For some reason, that New York Times.
Why is the New York Times publishing this? This is garbage.
Yeah.
This isn't any type of pressing issue at all. I mean, him making the argument for, like, why men should wear makeup. And, like, this is what they're publishing. And it used to be considered the most prestigious newspaper probably in the world. And, like, this is what they're choosing to run is, like, their hard-hitting reporting.
So
it's ridiculous.
He has a problem with gender identity. And he's asking, so why does Standard English impose a gender requirement on the... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Why does Standard English impose a gender requirement on the third person singular? And why do elite cultural institutions, universities, publishers, and media outlets like The Times still encourage all this gendering? See, this guy is mentally disturbed.
Well, we can say that now, but I can guarantee in 10 years the New York Times will be referring to everyone as they.
I, you know what? At the rate we're going, you are 100% right. And it's frightening.
Yeah, we all think it's like lunacy right now. Mm-hmm. But in 10 years, New York Times will refer to any interview subject, whoever it is, as they. They said.
And this will be the same time that they'll outlaw people having children.
Well, you know what?
The importance of gender is procreation or, you know, maintaining the species, right? Human beings. Mm-hmm. So if we're not concerned about gender, then they're basically saying that in my view, these individuals have no concern with maintaining the species. I mean, they're probably
no, they don't. Well, you know what happened is they changed the word.
We're not talking about the guy they. We're talking about plural they.
Well.
Just for our listeners.
Yeah. See, I'm thoroughly confused. But they changed. They substituted the word gender for sex, right?
Right.
It used to be sex. Now gender, because gender is fluid. Sex isn't. So if you're born a male, you're born a male. If you're born a woman, you're born a woman. But if you say gender, you can turn that on and off like a faucet. And this guy is apparently so angry at himself. he's all caught up in this gender stuff. And there's also, we know this, we talked about this on the show, where there are schools that are not addressing their kids as boys and girls. You know, and it's like this in Europe already, and it's getting like this in certain American communities. Parents are choosing not to raise their kids as a boy or a girl. They're just raising them as gender neutral and letting them choose, which is, we see how that turned out, Jaden Smith, Will Smith's son. you know, it is a disaster when you do stuff like
this.
Views
and opinion.
Yeah. Everybody knows that kid is a moon bat because you
the views and opinions of Khalid DeMar.
I don't know anything about him really.
Yeah, well, his parents raised him.
With the name calling.
I'm sorry.
Moon bats are people too.
But I mean,
can't we all just get along?
How do you just say I'm not going to raise my kid as a boy or girl? I'm just going to let them choose. I mean, what in the hell? Excuse my German. notice I picked a fascist language.
Wow.
Formally. Fascist
language. That would be Italian, right?
Do you know anybody who's done this personally?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I have read of people doing it. I have never actually met a parent who's trying to raise their kids in a gender neutral fashion. I had this one girl on my Facebook who was like a militant liberal. I eventually had to just get rid of her because her posts were so over the top and ridiculous. It was like, I couldn't even stand reading them. They're so obnoxious. Anyway, she was constantly ranting about transgender rights and how gender is, but then she had a baby and it's a girl. She calls it a girl. She puts bows in her hair. So it's like, okay, so you're not practicing what you preach here. Like, if it's that important to you that everyone choose their own gender.
Right.
But nobody, it's just like, it's really like a fad issue. It's it is the ultimate virtue signaling because nobody lives it. I mean, so, obviously some people do, but so few people actually, like, follow through, like, oh, I'm just going to be gender fluid. And my other prediction is that about 10 years from now, having any type of sexual orientation will be considered bigotry. Like, everyone will just have to want to have sex with anything, like anyone, anything, you know, men, women, pansexuals.
You know, you're right, because it's getting
two-spirit people. No, there was a transgender person. I think it was a transgender male to female who said that lesbians are bigots because they don't like the male anatomy, and that's wrong. What? And I can guarantee that'll be widely accepted on the left in about 5 to 10 years.
Could you say that again, please?
Okay, this transgender person wrote an essay. You can look it up. I believe it was a male to female, so a trans woman, said that lesbians are bigots because they don't want to be sexually involved with people with male anatomy, so they are bigoted against the Schmendrick, as Yiddish people would say.
You know what?
Just for the record, I just want us to say that here at the Todd Island Show, we respect all people's opinions and all people's views. The challenge that I have is when their views are being superimposed upon
exactly.
other people.
So do I.
That's
I don't,
the challenge
I mean,
that I have.
I don't care if someone wants to be transgender, pansexual, any of those things. I'm not mocking them for choosing that, but I don't impose it on me and say I can't call myself a she or that I have to refer to myself as they or that I can't, you know, that I'm a bigot because
let's not change the language
right.
simply
well,
to.
Well, that's what the left does. It's all about changing language. This affects society, and I think they should be mocked. It affects society. They are turning this society upside down and then upside down again to the point where kids are confused, language is being confused. It's just we are turning into an idiocracy for sure.
Just so I could be clear, I'm not saying that they can't be mocked. I'm just simply saying we respect them for their views.
I don't.
The views and opinions of Khalid Namar are clearly his own here on the Todd Allen Show. But I support you. I support your view. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stretch as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. Before we go any further, I want our co-host here to say how they can get in touch with them in case anybody wants to send hate mail to Khalid. Ashley.
You can find me on Facebook as myself, Ashley Herzog, and on Instagram is Ashley Herzog 85.
Darvio.
At D the Kingpin on all social media platforms, DTHEKINGPIN.
And folks, you can follow me at The Todd Allen Show on all social media. Khalid.
You won't find me because I'll be in witness protection. Khalid Namar at all social media platforms.
Right. Okay. Want to go into a topic that kind of disturbs me at this particular point. And so just for the record and for all listeners around the world, I am officially done with the NBA. And we're going to talk about this segment as to why I am done with the NBA. But, Gleed, take it away.
Well, it all started with a very – see, what had happened was it, you know what? People never think before they tweet. If I could write a book, it would be Think Before You Tweet. Because
and the foreword would be written by our current president.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's actually pretty good.
I don't particularly see anything wrong with this tweet, even though you say think before you tweet.
No, but listen.
But there's costs that came with it.
There's consequences, and there's also thinking that you might be right in principle, but it's not wise to necessarily do it.
Well,
right.
Okay.
So what? Say the tweet. What was the tweet?
The tweet was,
and this was from Daryl Morey,
who's
the general manager of the Houston Rockets.
Very popular team in China. Mm-hmm. And essentially, we know there's been Hong Kong protests going on, pro-democracy protests for the last 6 weeks. And, yeah, Morey gave a tweet and basically supporting the protesters in Hong Kong. Support freedom, stand with Hong Kong, or something like that.
Yeah, support democracy, stay with Hong Kong.
Yeah. Well, the Chinese government, whose sensitivities are thin as tissue paper.
Well, they're communists, so they don't believe in democracy.
Well, right. But they're also very, very, very sensitive people. They decided to
who steal intellectual property from the U.S.
Yes. They decided to.
So damn. I'm sorry about their sensitivities.
Okay.
Damn. Okay. Ty.
Yes.
You acting like Lee right now.
I mean.
Continue, Khalid. Continue. So recap the story real quick.
Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. And the Chinese government didn't like it one bit, so they decided they were not going to air.
Of course not.
They were not going to air the preseason game between, I think, the Lakers and
Wasn't that supposed to be in China?
Yeah. So they pump a lot of money into the NBA. So the NBA began to really sort of like backpedal. On the one hand, Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, said, well, we support people's right to freedom of expression and blah, blah, blah. But all these other left-wing big mouths like Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich and others
decided to. And Harden.
Harden apologized. He decided to tap dance around the issue because they're all afraid of their
Morey
cash cow.
Morey did too, didn't he?
He sort of he apologized in your basic
under pressure
hostage apology, you know, right. With a gun to his head.
Yeah, with his eyes blinking torture. Yeah.
So essentially, the NBA, as we know, is a huge market globally, but China pumps a lot of money.
Hypocritical.
Yeah.
Organization.
Mm-hmm. So
all right, now.
Yeah.
I'm still with the NBA.
Yeah. So here's the problem I have. And I'm going to let Jason Whitlock sum it up. But the problem I have
Jason
is
Whitlock from Fox Sports.
From Fox Sports. He was on Tucker last night. He hummed
it. I'm going to throw ESPN in there with him.
Well, I think that the problem I have is I've always said it takes very little courage to do and say some of the things these people say here in this country. Right? Now we're going to see where the real courage, they don't have any when it comes to criticizing China. Because they know if they criticize China one more time, there will be no NBA broadcast
in anyway.
China.
They're done.
Well, I won't know. I think if they shut their mouths and they get on a plane and they go grovel to the premier.
They're over there now.
I'm sure they are.
But the Chinese government is painting over the Houston Rockets signs as we speak.
Listen, we're going to see if the NBA grovels enough or whether they pump some money into
The point is that if you are in America, we believe in democracy. And to have this guy apologize with the threat of him losing his job, and then all these other people who claim and holler free speech and equal opportunity and all this other kind of stuff that you holler in democratic countries are basically running with their tail between their legs because at this particular point in time, they're getting the Big Mac smacked out of their mouths by the Chinese government.
We are 5 minutes into a 12-minute segment. Can we go to the clip, please?
Yeah, let's go to the clip. This is Jason Whitlock from last night.
Ashley, I'm going to need you to take care of Khalid here.
Well, I think the cultural impact that China's influence over a great sport, a great American sport like basketball, is just now being exposed, and just how dependent the NBA is on the Chinese economy and Chinese money to put on the appearance of how great the league is doing without the Chinese money and without, because you really have to understand the shoe companies, Nike, Adidas, they run American basketball from the high school level all the way to the pros, and the shoe companies are dependent on the China market. And
so he's right about
I
that.
I never thought about it
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and you think about it, it's yeah. massive. These NBA guys are over there every summer promoting their shoe deals, promoting
yeah.
– and the NBA is on television. They sell a lot of merchandise. All this
well,
money,
and I knew they yeah. had the NBA. I knew the presence was over there. I knew that because that's been a concerted effort for the NBA.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you've also got Yao Ming, who played right. for the Houston Rockets.
Right, exactly.
The president of the Chinese Basketball Association.
Exactly. So I knew it was that, but I never, like, yes. connected two and two together. But it, but he's right. I mean, Nike and Adidas pump billions of dollars into the NBA and to the players directly.
So we sell our democratic soul for dollars.
No, we don't. The NBA
does. Well, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, and I think this is an issue that all American companies who are going global and want to do business in China, they're all kind of struggling with. There are people who criticize Google because Google works with China on censorship in the country.
But they don't work with our military.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there's so
right.
so
and then, so they have political ideologies here, but they'll support a communist
absolutely,
government.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So that's the issue that I think all multinational companies have when you deal with China. And it's like, hey, you dance with the devil, you might get your feet burned.
Which makes them frauds. Because the NBA showed real spine last year when they decided they were going to threaten to pull their All-Star game out of Charlotte because of a bathroom law. Right. Yeah, that took beat up on Charlotte. But Beijing, ooh, no, we can't touch Beijing.
I bet you they make more money from Beijing than Charlotte.
Well, but that's the whole point. That's the point. Not about principle.
But see, here's the thing now. So now you have American citizens who go into a basketball arena and they protest. Okay, whether they wear a shirt or wear a sign, and so now the NBA throws those people out of the arena.
Yes,
yeah, or they'll take their signs away and ball them up and throw them away.
Free Hong Kong.
Now that's silly.
But that's the NBA.
That's what happened this week.
Yeah, that's the NBA. Now that happened last week.
Now that part, that's silly. Like, they shouldn't do that.
No, it's not silly. It's a violation of our democratic principles.
Yes, I agree with him.
Well, here's the thing. I agree with that. I agree.
Can you turn that off?
Well, I just...
You don't have a...
I just played a clip.
But go ahead.
I agree that it was wrong for them to do this.
Right.
Now, they have the right in an arena to
absolutely.
To get rid of any sign.
That's
that
exactly
they want.
Where I was going.
We're talking about the hypocrisy of it all. Because that's not...
So Free Hong Kong is offensive, but then all these other signs that they go up there, politically speaking...
I'm agreeing with you on
Donald
that.
Trump sign, hate Donald Trump signs and all that. That's a principle.
But you're talking about two different things.
Right.
Like, nobody disagrees with the principle, but it's not a violation of your freedom of speech.
No, it's not a violation of our democracy either.
Right.
It's just it's a hypocritical statement on their part that they kowtow to the Chinese. Hollywood does it. Hollywood placates to the Chinese. Again,
because they make a lot of money,
but that's,
in the box office over there in
that's
China.
That's what it's all about. Yeah. It's not the principle. These Bryan Adams, who you know was an '80s rocker, and he took a stand. He wasn't going to go to Indiana because of their gay marriage proposals and legislations, whatever. But he went to Damascus.
Yeah, exactly.
Years earlier, he did a tour in Damascus. It isn't about the principle for these people. They're virtual signaling frauds. It's about the money. How many of these entertainers went to perform for dictators overseas?
No, it is about the money. It's also about they want everyone to, like, worship them and praise
virtual
them.
Virtual signaling.
And talk about how courageous they are, because they know that if they cancel a concert in Indiana, they'll get all this praise from the media and everyone will be gushing
over
them.
In the meantime, I'm going to
Libya. But if they say, no,
I
won't play in Damascus, they're going to be called racist.
But you know what, though? The issue that I have with this and, like, you know, crucify the NBA and all of that is because us as a country, we have sent a signal to the business community for decades that, hey, you should go do business in China. The country does business with the Chinese. We deal with the Chinese. So at the same time, it's like, and you're sending mixed signals.
It comes full circle because Donald Trump is not, you know, the most well liked person, but I believe what he's doing with China is probably the first president in a long time who's standing
yes,
up to China.
Yes.
And so what happens is that because now he's fooling with people's piggy banks.
Yep.
Right now, all of a sudden, they don't want to like Donald Trump on his foreign policy because now he's dealing with the Chinese directly.
Right.
The Chinese, for years, have stolen intellectual property. They changed contracts in mid negotiations. They're so dirty business wise.
You send them a contract, they'll change it and send
they'll
it back.
They'll change it and send it back to you. Sign.
I've experienced that personally dealing with Chinese.
And so the thing is that because now we have a president who's standing up to the Chinese, this is, and now you have businesses who have been sucking at the trough of the Chinese, and so now they turn a blind eye to suffering from a democratic principle, all because of dollars, and that is
And I don't like a lot of the things that Trump does, but I'm not crying any tears for China.
But right. he just recently blacklisted several Chinese companies.
Correct.
Last week, in other words, he has definitely gone after them more than anyone else.
Yeah.
And these Hollywood people have never gone after China for their censorship, for their theft.
Well, and the biggest,
and trust me,
and you would think they would be the biggest ones because, like he said, they steal intellectual property. If you're in the entertainment business or the media business, that's the only property we have is intellectual property.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they steal everything. The best bootlegs come from China.
And so when the bootlegs got
menus and everything, dude. Like, it's ridiculous.
And so if the left wins, you'll see a lessening of democratic principles and more accepting of communist principles from China because they want that money.
I think we've already seen it.
Well, this is the bow across the shot across the bow, certainly, and see how we handle this with the NBA. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope you're still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show, the second hour of The Todd Allen Show. How are you doing, Ashley? You okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that in between segments, it gets a little bit heated, conversation.
Gets loud.
Right. So, Darby O'Kingpin Morrow, how are you, sir?
I don't know. That conversation off air was pretty lit.
Yeah, we...
That was lit, as the kids say.
Just for the record, a lot of times people think that we go lockstep with one another. We always agree. But the truth of the matter is we don't always agree. We respect one another. We don't always agree.
No, and when Khalid and I both agree on the same thing, you know it's right.
Yeah, that was a strange moment. Yeah.
When you two,
tag teaming. Right. So.
It's because you guys don't understand economics. Anyway, Khalid Damar, how you doing, sir?
I am well.
All right.
Awesome. I'm exhausted, but I'm well.
So, speaking of exhausted, let's talk a little bit about this impeachment stuff. I don't know what to call it.
Circus?
Yeah. And Ashley, you and I were talking.
Clown show?
Yeah.
Coup d'etat?
Oh, geez. Ashley, you and I were talking on the way in, and it appears to us that the Democrats, they came up with the idea of impeachment. Now they're trying to moonwalk this back to try to find out a reason.
Yeah, everyone's picking apart like the logical flaws in a lot of these allegations they're making. It's because they already decided they were going to impeach Trump. Now they're working backwards to see where they can impeach him. That's right. The whole point of this inquiry.
Yeah, they were actually talking about impeachment within before he was even inaugurated.
Yeah.
There's media clips of them talking about it literally before he was sworn in as president.
So now they're trying to find a crime. And they're trying to use this Ukrainian conversation that he had.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, Khalid, because I know that you're a constitutional scholar. Is that could I say that?
I am a student.
Don't give them all that.
I'm a student. I'm not a scholar yet, but I'm a student.
Okay. Can a person be brought to court? The idea is that if you're accused of a crime, you have the ability to face your accusers, correct?
You should, yeah.
Yeah, but the Democrats are talking about whoever this whistleblower is, if they testify, they're going to, obscure their voice and hide their identity. That's not being allowed to face your accuser.
No. So here's the the
are those
the
principles realm. The same in impeach in an impeachment trial?
I don't know.
Well, they are in a sense that the president, if there was a formal vote, then the president's defense team could go to work using all the legal and proper channels to defend himself. They could subpoena witnesses, they could cross-examine, they could do all these things. But there's, since there's no vote, this impeachment process is just pure rhetoric. It's not even a formal impeachment inquiry. It's not done the proper way. It's not bipartisan, which it's supposed to be. The Clinton impeachments and the Nixon impeachment votes were held. Both parties agreed to go forward. This has not been in this case. So
when it talks about Nancy Pelosi has the number of votes necessary for impeachment, what are they talking about?
No. Well, they say she does, but here's the thing. For some reason, we know what it is, she's not bringing it for a vote because they don't want the Trump team to be involved in the process, which they are legally required to be or entitled to be.
And so this is why Donald Trump says he's not going to comply.
Absolutely. He doesn't have to. And we get this thing about subpoenas. People think that when you get a subpoena, it's like a stone tablet from God where you have to show up in court. No, you don't. You can file what's called a motion to quash a subpoena. And if it goes to a judge and a judge decides you need to show up and testify, then you show up or else you're held in contempt. You can challenge a subpoena legally. So when Trump is saying, look, we're going to challenge subpoenas, we're not going to cooperate, they don't have to cooperate. Let it go to a judge, and the judge is going to decide, you know, what the next step. But here's the other thing I thought about this weekend.
If it goes to a Clinton to an Obama appointed judge, he's going to have to show up.
Well, more than likely, I think it will probably not go to one of the, like Ninth Circuit Court. It'll probably go to Tenth Circuit or something like that, which is the second highest court in the land, I think it'll go to. And it may even go to Supreme Court just to decide on who they won't get involved in impeachment per se,
right?
But they'll get involved in some of the legal issues,
the constitutional issues.
They will not get involved in impeachment at all. The court won't. But I was thinking about this. I was talking to a friend of mine last week, and Joe Biden, everybody heard him on tape, basically said, you know, bragging that he got the prosecutor in Ukraine fired, right? And he said, "You're not getting any money." He said,
"What the hell?"
I'm sorry. He said, we'll call the president. And he said, well, we'll call him. You know, you're not getting any money.
I want you to chastise him like you chastise me.
He does it every week. here's an issue when you hear these people talking about the Constitution. What executive authority does the vice president have?
Executive authority?
Yeah.
He sits over the Senate.
Executive authority?
None.
Exactly. Why in the hell does a vice president get to tell somebody who's not getting any money?
Correct.
In the Constitution, he has no executive authority. The vice president of the United States presides over the Senate. He votes over, he can break the tie.
Right.
There's a, deadlock. He also is the president of the Senate. He goes to funerals. That's all you do. You don't tell people they're not getting any money.
And riding a different airplane than the president.
Right. Nor do you sit there and have a president illegally or unconstitutionally appoint you as head of Ukraine policy or China policy. You're the vice president. The Secretary of State has more authority than the vice president does.
Correct.
So why is he sitting there threatening somebody with withholding funds? He has no executive authority to do that. Have you heard any of these bozos on TV talking about that?
Absolutely not. Because they're in the media, and the media loves it. I mean, Biden called for the impeachment of the president, and he said that this is in order to uphold our Constitution, our democracy, and basic integrity. He said that the president should be impeached. What are your thoughts about that, Ashley? About Joe Biden calling for the impeachment of Donald Trump?
Of course he wants Trump to be impeached. I mean, he doesn't want to have to run for president against Trump. It would be much better for him to run against the Republican Party in total chaos, who has been forced to put up Mike Pence as president. That's the whole goal. I've been saying that all along.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mentioned this last week. When people started talking about impeachment back when Trump was inaugurated, like in 2017, I said, no, they're going to wait until right before re-election so that they can throw the whole thing into chaos and disrupt it and make it so that either the Democratic nominee is running against Mike Pence or they're running against a president who is possibly going to be removed from office, they can just attack him on that. Well, how can you vote for this guy? He's about to be removed from office.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Darby, I would like to bring you in on this because I know that you're big on the numbers. Different polls, even they have Biden beating Trump. They have Trump maybe at 40%. And then they also have Elizabeth Warren beating at Trump and Trump being at 40%. What is your take on all of this? I mean, and we here at the Todd Allen Show have said, you know, if Donald Trump would just be quiet, he would win by a landslide. But the polls are saying something totally different.
He's down amongst damn near everybody. I will preface this by saying this, though. It's really, even now, it's still really early. Like, a week is a long time in politics, let alone a year. So there's a lot of things that can change. But I think the polls are valuable in this sense. They're a good snapshot to see where you're at right now. And he's in a lot of trouble. He needs to, what Khalid and I have both been saying forever, he needs to expand his base. He can't just run to his base, and that's all. He hasn't even made an attempt to expand beyond people who are already predisposed to liking him and voting for him anyway. So now, again, the caveat is these polls don't really mean that much this early out, but it does show you how weak his support is and how much work he needs to do to catch up.
So Khalid, where can he go?
Well, I think he should have been going to the inner cities like months ago. He should have been in Chicago. He should have been in Detroit. He should have been in Cleveland. Not just coming to Cleveland and go to the IX Center. He should have raised money. He should have been in the cities. He should have been in St. Louis. He should have been in Baltimore.
So you're saying he should have gone to all these Democratic cities that are in bad shape?
Yeah, why not? You have to compete in places that you don't normally compete. How else are you going to expand? There are a lot of people in inner city, particularly black males, who do support Trump. Mm-hmm. More so than black women. It's a lost cause. But with black men...
Well, 96% of black women support the Democratic Party.
92. Well, at least in the last midterms.
Right.
So he should have been going to these places, number one, and he should have been actually going into places that normally, or say, for instance, some of the battleground areas that were sort of tight, you always go there. Hillary didn't. We see what happened for her. You have to always go in these areas, and I think that he should have been doing that.
And like Khalid mentioned, I think you mentioned this like either a week or 2 weeks ago, one or the other. He didn't win by very much in a lot of these different states.
And in Pennsylvania. And all
so it was so, very close to begin with.
Right. Don't think you got it won because you won last
time. But here's the question then, and Ashley, I want you to speak on this as well. It seems like the only thing that the Democrats are putting up is this whistleblower because they don't have a really viable candidate.
Right. No, they don't. I don't think that that any of their candidates are that strong. I think the field was way too big to begin with. I think that Joe Biden came in as the only, like, well, I mean, he looks moderate compared to these other ones, but the only one that appeals to a wide base and not just the far left. I don't think they have any chance in 2020. So that's they are banking on impeachment.
We'll be right back. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Convenient my own skin. And I don't stretch as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. Let's continue our discussion. I just want to commend Ashley. I think that she's probably the sensible voice of reason throughout this program, especially during the breaks.
She just ignores us.
she ignores you. I'm going to ride home. All right. So here's the question, Khalid. And you and I disagree on this off air. You believe that Donald Trump should do less.
I think he should say less. sometimes less is more. Sometimes you just basically don't say ish.
Okay.
You have to sometimes just realize that everything you say, they're going to spin it a certain way. So here's what you do. You limit your personal attacks against people because it becomes a headline every single day. You limit your personal fights with people because it's not about you and this individual. You're running against the left. You're not running against Ocasio-Cortez. You're not running against Tlaib. You're not running against Ilhan Omar. You're running against the left. So you have to basically limit yourself from fighting with every doggone body. You have to stop every single day going out telling the press that they suck. Let us do that.
Right.
I enjoy doing that, actually. Hire me.
Right.
When Khalid is saying to you to say say less.
So Ashley, you agree with Khalid?
I don't think that he has to censor himself in a lot of things that he says. I think that Trump needed to happen because of the direction this country was going in with all this, like, everyone's offended by everything and everyone has to walk on eggshells and the whole cancel culture thing. And Trump, he can't be canceled because he's going to keep getting on Twitter.
Right, and he's the president.
And he's not going to be shamed, and he's not going to be silenced by anyone. So, actually, I kind of admire that. I think a lot of the stuff that he says is just complete nonsense, but some of it is very valid and should be said.
When Donald Trump says, you know, I'm sort of built for this. I think the direct quote that he says is, I can handle this. This is kind of what I do.
And I think he's one of the few people on this earth that can act like that.
I mean, if you don't believe it, you know, he'll ask.
Just
him.
Ask.
Right. But to your point, I mean, if you look at the cancel culture and you look at everything where we were headed from the Obamas in the accepting of everything, this guy kind of stands in the wake of all of that. He's probably the old guy right now. Right. But Darvio, you and I did say off air that his greatest strength is also his weakness. The fact that he is outspoken, and he's always been outspoken. I mean, Hillary Clinton said who this guy was when they were running against each other.
Mm-hmm.
But you also said that that's his greatest weakness.
Absolutely. So both can be true. I mean, both things can be correct. It can be correct that there are some things that he has said and done that needed to be said and done. And it can also be true that he talks too damn much. like both things are accurate. You know what I mean? So the problem with Trump, to me, is not the fact that he punches and that he's a counterpuncher. That's not the issue to me, and I don't think that's the issue to anybody in this room. The issue is that he doesn't know when to not punch.
Right.
He can't separate when he should fight and when he shouldn't.
I agree with that completely.
And that's what I've been saying for God knows how long. You have to have, in politics, you have to refrain from personal vendettas and vindictiveness. It's a bad quality.
You're the New Yorker.
But Nixon wasn't a New Yorker, and that's what destroyed him as well.
Right.
You have to have
He was a different kind of New Yorker. He was mealy-mouthed, and he was a quiet guy that did stuff behind closed doors that everybody wants.
But he was very vindictive and petty.
And he had a mean streak.
And took everything personally. And that's the problem. When you're the president, every day somebody's going to say or do something that you don't like.
Let me say something.
Every day.
Clinton was, even the people that hate him, was a master politician. This guy knew how to politic. He knew how to turn on the charm. Mm-hmm. He knew how to turn on the sensibility.
Well, he didn't have a real job in his life. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't really think that's necessarily a good thing.
No,
I mean,
no,
he was a professional BSer.
You know, but you need
what do you think politics is? What do you think politics is?
I'd rather have someone who's not a professional BSer and who just like gets on Twitter.
Here's the problem. Then, if we like that, if that's what we
that's
want,
what we got.
Then you got to accept the BS that comes with it too.
Right. Well, you know what I mean? I think he doesn't pick his battles. Like the thing he said about Greta Thunberg or however you pronounce her name,
Thunberg.
Thunberg. He didn't need to go after her.
I'm saying sarcastically,
but, like, oh, she sounds like a very happy, like,
you
and
how
see
dare
this
you
and see this is why I said what I said about his greatest strength being his greatest weakness. That is the problem. He doesn't, the thing that people like about him is the same thing that gets him in trouble all the time. Yeah. He doesn't know how to turn the damn thing off.
That's my point. You have to manage, and this is what, and I always go back to boxing because, you know, I love boxing. Customato, who's Tyson's trainer, he talked about fear being kind of like fire. Mm-hmm. Fire can cook your food. It can heat your house. It can also kill you, right? So you have to know how to manage it. Mm-hmm. You have to pick your battles in politics. You can't smash everybody over the head. You have to pick your battles. Okay, I'll fight this one, but let me put a little finesse on it.
Exactly.
When it comes to the press, they are horrible. You know, I despise the press. But there is a way to deal with them in a very manipulative way without insulting them. And this is someone who loves to insult the press. But Obama Obama was nasty to the press. He was very nasty
all
to
you're
the press.
Do.
But he was also, he had that little charm he would turn on.
Right. One of my favorite quotes is the quote from, I believe it was Benjamin Franklin, who said, never go to war with people who ain't by the barrel.
Absolutely.
You're not going to win. Yeah, but you can't win that battle.
So here's back to what we were saying earlier about Trump. Yes, there are certain things that need to be said. Of course, there are certain people who need to be pushed back against. Of course. But there are certain things he just should not even engage in. In other words, going after people every time they say something about you is a full-time job.
Because you know what ends up happening, too, is when people see that that's what you do, they're going to go out of their way to say stuff
to make you mad,
antagonize,
because you know you're going to come back at you.
Exactly.
So now they turn this into a race, or not a race, but a campaign. You against this person. You against this person.
And they build themselves off of
that. So here's the question, and we're going back to what we were talking about the last segment. Is that an impeachable offense?
No.
No. I mean, it's not impeachable.
It's nonsense.
But it could make him lose the election if he doesn't tone it down a little
bit.
Because
this is all media perception. The media chooses the president in many cases. Right now, they've driven down his poll numbers with complete poppycock. You know? And they're lying. They're spinning. This is what they do. And I think that is something to be pushed back against. But some of this other stuff he's engaging in is adding more battles. You can only fight a war on so many fronts. And
right.
He's opened up several different fronts. Now you got Syria, which is a very difficult situation. And the timing couldn't be worse. This is something you do in your second term. You don't do this. Even Obama had enough sense to wait until after the election, Vladimir.
And,
you know, I can get jiggy with you. You know.
And I think that, I mean, I believe, and some people may disagree, that this president has done more in 2 years than some presidents have done in 8.
Okay.
Okay.
We agree.
And so this was one of the things. This was a campaign promise. This was one of the things that he talked about, right? Bringing the troops home, right? And so I can understand, and again, I'm not saying I'm for what he's done or against it. I'm just simply trying to be the economist and look from the 1,000-foot level here. What he has always been saying since he was president is America first. And so in this situation in Syria, he's simply saying, yes, I support the Kurds. But I also know that Turkey is part of NATO, but we should also have our other allies need to ante up a little bit more as well. Why is it that we're not the policemen of the world?
No, but that's not the we are the policemen of the world, unfortunately. We have military bases in 100 countries. We've already assumed that responsibility. You got bases in Japan and China and the Middle East and Africa and Europe. We are the policemen.
I was about to say preach to Khalid. I can't believe it.
We've been agreeing a lot lately. And I got a big problem with that.
That means that you're wrong.
We are the policemen of the world. We are. We've assumed that role 60 years ago. We became a superpower.
But what I'm saying is that we have never left the place where we've actually been engaged in some military action. Okay, we would agree with that.
Yes.
Okay. But the point is that when you're saying that we are the police force, that we are the ones responsible to keep the lions from the gate by ourselves.
No,
I don't agree with that.
That's a different argument. Yeah, nobody ever said it really irks me when people are like, oh, we shouldn't be the policemen of the world. Like, we wanted that responsibility want it to be in anybody else's hands.
But what I believe that Donald Trump is saying is that other people should bear the cost of as well.
I agree
it
with that.
It should not just be American lives.
I agree with that.
No, it shouldn't just be an American, but we're always going to be in the lead.
We agree
that.
With you. Okay. But here's the thing.
Now, what I say wrong?
No,
you agree with me.
We agree with you, but you're making a different argument. Having NATO pay more, absolutely. Having the UN pay more, absolutely. Having us pull out of Syria and getting the Kurds bulldozed, that's a different argument. You know,
well, we have 50 troops there. 50 people are supposed to going to stop them from getting bulldozed.
Yes, you know why? Because Turkey would never kill an American troop. They won't. They don't want to smoke. We have troops,
but they're NATO allies. That's the point I'm trying to make.
They are, but guess what? They're NATO allies, but it's a bad regime.
But
they won't kill American troops as long as we were there.
No, they don't want that.
So the question is, and again, this is a question, why not have NATO put more NATO troops there, not just simply American
because
troops?
Because NATO is full of wusses. Listen, you can write a check. You can write a check, but put some of your troops on the front line.
That's
they're ballet dancers. They can't bleed.
That's the point. I mean, we're not talking about the French.
But Trump is not. Trump has not asked NATO to put troops into Syria. They never would. You know why? Because NATO is a European alliance. It's not a Middle East alliance. You don't put troops in Syria. And this is NATO is a force that protects other European countries. It's an alliance. We know this, right? He's not going to ask them to go to Syria for what? That's not their business. What he should have done is said, look, Erdogan, I'm going to pull our troops back, but you better not F with the Kurds. Period. That's what he could have told
them. And if you do, you're going to have to deal with
us. There'll be consequences and repercussions.
But we don't know that conversation was had, right?
Have you watched what happened in these Kurdish villages yesterday?
I've,
those tanks are real.
Clearly that conversation did not happen. Because if we can say one thing about Trump, if that conversation did happen, they would not have done that.
He'd have been impeached.
So what we're saying is right now, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm telling you, it is horrible what's going to happen to these people, these Kurds.
And they're our allies. And that
actually went and fought.
Yeah.
The British don't fight with us, for the most part. The French don't fight with us. The Germans don't fight with us. The Canadians only fight in hockey. So what in the world do we think that how we should treat people like Kurds who actually fought with us, who put their blood
out? And then we're going to allow them to get slaughtered.
Yeah. That's bad.
I have a problem with that.
This is bad.
I have a big problem with that.
This is bad. And the Russians are going to move in there as well.
Which is going to be another problem. This is why we're the policemen of the world.
Yeah. And it's better us than the Chinese.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because, so we are the policemen. We got 100 bases around the world. We have defense pacts with Taiwan. We got defense pacts with the Europeans. We are the police.
If we were not the policemen of the world, imagine how much chaos you would see.
Yes. It would look like it would be bad, I think. So I agree with you, more nations should pay up. But at the same time, I don't think that we should let the Kurds to get steamrolled. I think that's going to be ugly to watch over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. You're listening to the Todd Allen
Show. The Todd Allen Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. We have a guest from Cuyahoga Community College this evening. We're going to speak with Diane Gadsden, the Associate Professor of Philosophy and Humanities and Religious Studies at Cuyahoga Community College. Professor Gadsden, how are you this evening?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, pleasure to have you. You have a special event that's coming up October 18th and 19th, is that correct?
Yes, we do. The Black Diamonds Women's Conference. It's being held down at the Metro campus for a two-day event.
Okay. What can you tell us about the Black Diamonds and how long? This is the third annual event, so what can you tell us about what has happened in the past 2 years?
This is the third annual. This is the brainchild of Linda Lanier. She's a Metro campus faculty. She's counseling faculty. And she came up with this idea initially to address an underserved population, but it has expanded to be more inclusive because we recognize the greater need in our community for education and uplift of women overall. Last year, in the second annual conference, we actually had grown it. We doubled it. So the first year we had about 20 speakers, and it was 350 participants. Last year, we doubled that amount on both counts. And this year, we're expecting 700 to 750 attendees. We have 56 workshop sessions with 50 presenters this weekend, this next coming weekend, Friday the 18th and Saturday the 19th.
Okay, and this is, again, you said it's at the Metro campus. So,
yes.
So who are the keynote speakers? Can you give us any idea about them?
Sure. Our Friday keynote speaker is Raquel Eithman. She's actually, she's a nationally known author and promoter of female empowerment. She's written two books. The first book is Beyond Enough, How to Lead with Your Whole Self. Her second book is Structure Stuff, Principles and Purpose, Power and Position. She's formerly a television personality, and she actually has her own women's conference and really invested in helping women and girls. On Saturday, our keynote speaker is Ramona, and she's from FedEx. She's the president of one of their major divisions.
Okay. Excellent. So what is the result, or what is it that you're basically trying to get from this conference, or what could participants expect to receive from this conference?
Well, by providing the workshops and various, you know, targeted activities, and it's actually, this is the beginning of a year-long initiative. So this is just the beginning. Mm-hmm. So we have activities and field trips throughout the year, and we foster camaraderie. A lot of them come back. Okay, so we want peer and professional mentorship. We provide connections. This enhances and increases, you know, with those connections with the participants to the resources. One of the things that we added last year was a career cluster. So on Friday afternoon, we have various professionals that come in to meet the participants in a more informal setting. So we have the workshops, we have panels, we have a number of institutions coming from all over. You know what, sometimes when we identify that sometimes the problem is not having access to the information. For instance, we offer programs here, and you probably know this, and opportunities that our own students aren't aware of. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the greater community doesn't always know what we offer at Tri-C either. Mm-hmm. So this conference provides an opportunity for us to showcase the resources, the programs, the supportive services that we offer, as well as inviting in our educational and community partners for greater exposure for our students, exposing them to options to four-year institutions and other career opportunities, as well as resources in the community. We sort of act as a bridge mm-hmm. to information and resources.
Right. Yeah, and from what I know is that from the last two workshops that it's been very well received, and as you said, that there's a lot of growth and opportunity there. And I would encourage any of our listeners who are listening to go down and to participate in this worthwhile event. So are you one of the presenters as well?
No, I'm a co-chair.
Okay.
No, I am not. You know what? We have a lot of presenters, and there's a lot of work behind the scenes.
Right.
So it's really not possible. We only have one of our co-chairs, Rebecca Stoltzman, is presenting a grants writing workshop because we have four tracks. We cover high school, college, community, and professional development.
Okay.
So we try to make sure we cover all the tracks. It initially started out, you know, was more geared toward high school and college. But now, you know, we've expanded into the community throughout the year with some of the activities. We've also added some of the services that we try to highlight.
Okay, excellent. So how can our listeners learn more about the event if they want to attend, and how can they get in touch with you?
Well, we have a website, and it's within Tri-C, is www.blackdiamonds.edu.
Okay.
Excellent. Let me make sure I gave it tri-c.edu/blackdiamonds. So either one works.
Okay, outstanding. Thank you, Professor Diane Gaston, Associate Professor of Philosophy, Humanities, and Religious Studies at Tri-C. And we appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you at the event.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, I want to thank again Diane Gaston for being a part of our show today and talking about the third annual Black Diamonds Women's Conference at Tri-C, October 18th and 19th. So I want to take a little bit of time, Darby, and talk a little with you about some of the things that FCB does as it relates to the community.
Yes.
Yeah, you all right over there?
Yeah, I'm good. There was a little technical difficulties over here.
Gotcha. So now, and FCB is your brainchild, and you started this company with the idea of providing quality radio content, certainly, but yes. Then also you have a focus on community. Let's talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Well, yeah, I mean, we live here too, as Khalid says. So, you know, that's something that we're big on is, you know, participating in the community and trying to be a better example and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I think that's very important to show that you care about where you're at, you know?
And one of the things that I know that, Khalid, you've done is that you've actually gone into the schools and you've actually helped students learn to read. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's been one thing I've done is been involved in literacy, but also obeying the law. Talk to kids about that a lot. Talk to kids about respecting their teachers, and talk to them about issues of theft as well, because I think that's a huge thing for young people, and it gets them into the system very early. I talk to them about employability, things of that. Just things about how to function in school and once they get out of school. I want to do more of that. I think I'm going to be doing more of that probably in the new year as well, on a larger scale, because I don't think that's being done enough of.
So, how do you guys address, and I want you to jump in here too, Ashley, how do you address the concept or the idea of equal opportunity to groups of people that may not have historically had these kinds of opportunities? How would you motivate them and encourage them to kind of get involved in certain things so that they can have greater access?
That's to you, Ashley.
I don't know. I mean, that's something that I would have to think about. I would say there's no better time to be living than now. We can talk about the past, that's something that we should talk about, and we can talk about discrimination and things that can maybe hold people back that shouldn't. But I think that you have to – I think Khalid is right to be talking to kids about employability and what makes someone a good employee and a good candidate. Versus what will hurt you. I think that anyone can benefit, including myself, from doing things like getting a critique of your resume, doing mock interviews, and to not just write it off as, oh, you know, I don't have an equal chance anyway, so why should I even put in the effort?
Mm-hmm. One of the things I remember with you, Darvio, very early on is that you had a program with kids, and you actually were teaching them how to work within a radio broadcast or do some things with radio. And and to speak to that, how did you motivate kids to want to get involved with that? I mean, I know one day you walked in and you're a younger guy, and so you have a little bit of swag, you have a little flavor, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so.
They like that.
Yeah.
They like that. But
you come in with the Mr. T starter kit on.
Right.
You ought to see my new watch. It will blind this room. But anyway, but you know what? The thing that I have seen dealing with kids is if you talk to them like they're human beings – you know what I mean? They're able to rationalize to some degree, and you show like when kids, and sometimes you have to be harder on some kids than others. There was one kid in particular that I was real hard on because he was a pain in the ass. Right. So I was real hard on him, but he ended up respecting me because he knew that I wasn't attacking him. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think, and then with other kids, you take different approaches. So, it wasn't very hard to motivate them, to be honest with you, because A, you know, the entertainment business is a sexy business. It attracts a lot of people. So, you know, it's not that hard to get somebody motivated to be on the radio, you know what I mean? Or to be in a video or to, you know, do stuff like that. But where it really comes in is the human touch, being able to talk to them like they're people and not just, they deal with, you know, people who attempt to be disciplinarians all the time. Sometimes they just need people to talk to them. That particular kid who was always getting into fights and stuff, I pulled him to the side once. I said, man, why are you fighting? And he was a short guy. You know, he's really tall now, but he was a short guy. And he was like, well, you know, I'm in school and I'm short and everybody picks on me. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. So, and we connected more at that point because I understood what his issue was. You know what I mean? And I took the time to find out.
All right. Thank you for that. And folks, again, please participate in the Black Diamond event, the third annual women's conference, the Black Diamond event at the Cuyahoga Community College on the 18th and 19th of October. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla. When I used to walk everywhere, look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin, and I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Now is the time for us to come back to one of our most popular segments, and which also has its own segment on iHeartRadio. You Big Dummy.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period.
Stupid!
The reason that bad things happen to you is because you're a dumbass.
You Big Dummy!
All right, so the things that we men do for love, sometimes, you know,
oh boy.
We've all been a fool.
This is true.
And sometimes we're a dummy. And
would you agree with that men sometimes are fools for love and they're dummies?
Yeah, I think that can be true.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Like breaking a man out of jail. anyway, so okay, weddings can be expensive, right? Sometimes it can be a little tough to get your honey the wedding she wants, and you know, sometimes you may not be able to afford the ring you want. So. This man in Texas was having trouble paying for a ring for his wife. And it got down to like the day before the wedding. And he decided to rob a bank. Oh, my God. Now, it gets better. A Texas man was arrested after his fiance saw a Facebook post of him robbing a bank the day before their wedding.
Oh, so the fiance was the one who turned him in?
She snitched on him.
No, she convinced him to turn himself in.
Oh, okay.
He had to be named Heath. Heath Edward Bumpus.
Oh, Lord.
Assistant, was charged with aggravated robbery after his wife to be allegedly convinced him to surrender himself to the police. His confession came after his fiancée reached a shocking realization while scrolling through social media. It all started when Trinity County Sheriff Woody Wallace, the sheriff's name was Woody Wallace. This is great. Posted photos.
So Bumpus bumped off a bank.
Yeah.
Seen straight out of Mayberry RSD.
Yes. Trinity County Sheriff Woody Wallace posted photos of a suspected bank robber on his Facebook page. This is a great picture of him, too. Fantastic picture. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Make sure you send me that story so we can put it on the Facebook page.
And the images depicted a bearded man wearing all black exiting a Citizens State Bank in Groveston, Texas. You ever heard of Groveston, Texas, Ashley?
Groveston?
Yeah.
No.
In Trinity County? I don't even know where that is.
I don't know where it is either.
Probably some small podunk.
Yeah. Bumpus heeded his fiance's advice and headed to the Houston County Courthouse where he confessed. It was then he told the police his motive. He basically stated that he was getting married tomorrow So he didn't have enough money for a wedding ring that he wanted to buy, and he needed to pay for the wedding venue. The sheriff said that Bumpus' trial will be headed by a grand jury, and the officers had managed to recover most of the stolen money. It's unclear when if he, Bumpus, and his fiancée will finally have their wedding. No kidding.
He didn't even cover his face or anything.
No.
You can totally, I mean, you can see him very clearly in these pictures that were posted on social media. So this is like a good old boy.
Yeah,
Bumpus.
I would think the wedding would be on hold for now.
Yeah.
You know, it's unclear when they'll have their wedding. You think?
They'll have it in the jail.
Okay, I have to say, I'm not surprised this happened in the South, in Texas, where these big blowout weddings are a thing.
Now, you went to school in Texas, right?
I went to high school in Texas for 2 years. So I've lived there. My parents actually lived there for 3 years, but... So I have friends there, and I went to my 10-year reunion. I think there is a serious problem with people having expectations that are sky high for their weddings compared to their actual budget. Mm-hmm. People are being... I'm not defending the guy or anything, obviously. Robbing a bank, like, come on. But, like, people are feeling like they have to spend... Like, Texas Magazine, which is a big magazine, or Texas Monthly, whatever it's called... was giving out awards for, like, the best weddings. And then they did a special category, best wedding under $80,000 or something like that, implying that's
a deal.
That's, like, a budget wedding. The average wedding, the average in the U.S. costs something like $25,000. It's almost, it's nearing $30,000, which is out of control.
Yeah, well,
Todd, how much did you spend?
People are going to extreme lengths to...
Not for $30,000. I'm using the exchange rate in Latin American countries, so I'm getting a deal.
Disgusting.
You pay for your wedding in pesos?
Yeah, yes, I am.
Wow.
Go gadget dollar.
Ashley, did you have a big blowout wedding?
No. I had a nice wedding. It was a medium-sized venue. My mom and I made a lot of the decorations.
Oh, wow.
My mom is very into decorating, so she did a lot of the work herself. We got married in the Catholic church. That just didn't cost anything. I think total it probably cost like $10,000, which is not bad.
Yeah, not at all.
Not these days, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my older sister's wedding cost something like $75,000.
Wow.
And hers wasn't that much bigger in terms of people. It's just the choices that you make in terms of venue.
Well,
just to give you an idea, even if you're talking about weddings approaching $30,000, the median income for individuals here in the United States is $33,000. So you're talking about annual income.
Somebody's whole annual income. Wow. Let me see a picture of this guy. What's his name again?
Heath
Bumpus.
Bumpus.
Heath, is that you?
You know what? I'll say this about the guy. I think he's obviously a dummy.
You respect his ingenuity?
Well, the thing is, he was going to rob the bank and then pay for the venue and for his ring with the proceeds from his...
But the fool... Ashley said the fool didn't have a mask on or nothing.
No, yeah, nothing.
I'll show you the picture. But you know what? Here's the things that... Because I heard a story of a man who was having financial trouble. His wife was a stay-at-home mom. He had two little boys. He was a financial trader, and business didn't go well. He got lost his job, and he started robbing banks, and he ended up getting sentenced to like 11 years in jail. I think it's tragedy when somebody goes to that length to think it's going to be, you know, okay, your motive may be right. He didn't want his wife to have to lose the house.
Right.
He didn't want her life disrupted. I get that. But you disrupt it anyway because you got sentenced to 11 years in prison. You got caught. And
why is bank robbery still a thing?
Because it's
like
easy.
You never get away with it.
I know. It's an 80% catch rate, you know?
So why the hell, if you're a criminal or if you're going to do some criminality, why would you do something that has an 80% catch rate?
Because they don't know statistics. they don't.
Because that involves math.
because they know that it's easy because the banks are taught to basically turn over the money.
Right.
So, you know, if you have a note, you have an excellent chance of getting out of there with the money because they'll just give it to you.
But then they're going to catch you.
Yeah, but but most of them have drug problems. Yeah. Most bank robbers have drug problems. So they're high by then. They're trying to get caught. So it's actually a very calculated risk.
Well, if I'm going to go to jail, I'm going to go to jail. Yeah.
But I just think that the wife, though, you know, she thought about having a life with this guy. But he is now he didn't use a gun. Very smart. Because I say, if you're going to be a criminal.
Because I would have been more.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to be a criminal, there's two things you shouldn't do. If you absolutely don't have to be a criminal.
Rules to Being a Criminal by Khalid Namar. Yes.
Don't hurt anyone. And don't use a weapon. Don't use a gun. Because you'll be back out on the street. But if you use a weapon and you actually hurt someone, you're really, really sealing your
fate. He ain't serving all 11 of them years.
Well,
no doubt.
No, we don't know what Bumpus is serving.
Yeah, Bumpus will probably, in Texas, by robbing a bank without a gun, he might get 3 years for this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I think they'll have some sympathy for him, you know, because he tried to do the right thing. It was for love. But I think he'll get 3 years.
Stop.
He'll get 3 years. But
what a beautiful. But Khalid always brings the beautiful love stories.
But
a romantic story.
Right.
But well, his
gives
woman,
us hope for love after all. Ain't that right, Ashley?
But will
his woman turned him in?
Will she wait for him though?
Well, she turned him in.
No, she convinced him to turn himself in.
Right.
Which was smart because
they'll put each other's hands on the glass doors.
Ashley, would you wait for your man in prison?
No.
Wow.
So you ain't ride or die, huh?
She said that quick, fast, and in a hurry.
No, if my fiance went, first of all, I would hope I'd have better judgment than that. But I'm saying hope.
Yeah, you never know.
I don't have the best track record. But if he's crazy enough to rob a bank instead of just saying, hey, I can't really afford this wedding ring right now or whatever, it would make me very worried about what else he would be willing to do. Just for not just for me, but for personal gain. Like, that is very, very reckless.
Well, and especially, like, if he's your fiance, then he should know you and know that you would you'd understand if he was just honest with you and said, look, I can't afford this ring.
Right.
You would do, you mind getting on the pole?
And like I said, I wouldn't do that. But there is too much emphasis on rings and, you know, expensive venues and just the amount of money and, fanfare that goes in these weddings, and so many of them end up breaking up. I think we've got our priorities all wrong. So, well, I want my next wedding, if I ever get married again, to be even cheaper.
Like wedding on a budget by
Vegas,
Ashley Herzog.
Hey, Vegas drive-through.
Listen. Go to South America.
Yeah.
And pay for it in pesos.
Yeah, let Todd plan your wedding.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Thank you.
You're like, what is the overall bill in American dollars? This cost me $40. Had a whole blowout wedding.
When I went to Colombia and I fed 9 people, it cost $139 and included the tip.
Wait a minute. You fed how many people?
9 people.
For how much?
$136 and it included the tip.
You don't spend that much on us.
What does that tell you? I got value for my pesos.
We should all go with his bleep to South America.
We eat good.
Any last words, Ashley?
Just have a conversation with your fiance and tell them you can't afford the ring. Don't go rob a bank to try to rectify the situation.
Darvio, any last words?
I am actually going to defer to Khalid because he has to re-up one more time and let the world know who the dummy of the week is.
Heath Bumpus, you are the big dummy of the week.
Folks, remember, we are what we continually do, Bumpus. Excellence then is not an action, but a habit. Until next time, you're listening to the Todd Allen Show.
What you won't do to do for love. You tried everything, but you don't give up. In my world, only you make me do for love what I would not do.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.